Welcome back to Shattering This. We'll turn the page and consider what Yahweh had to share with us. And we have our artist and resident teacher and Southern grammatarian with us today, and Kirk.
And how are
you? You know, what's interesting is that I am actually a resident of a southern state, and I don't speak with a drawl, and you live in Yankee territory in California.
Well,
and you still do.
When I came out to California about 35 years ago, I guess it is, I didn't figure they talked any better than I did, so I said, what the heck?
I ain't gonna
work to talk like you guys.
Yeah, I don't want to be identified. You know, I grew up in California, so I have what's called the universal accent. You know, it's kind of the national accent. Southern California. It's the one that's adopted typically by those who speak in politics in the media. So when I moved to the South and have lived in the South for some time, I did not pick up the Southern drawl, but I do enjoy it. There's no question about it. I enjoy it. So you have three words that are found in English translations, particularly in the King James,
right,
of the Torah, and would like to share a little perspective on the actual meaning of those three words.
I do.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm tying it in because you were talking about dishonest reporting from the start.
Right.
Now, I've been getting dressed.
Okay.
I've missed most of the morning, but also I got to go to work. But
okay.
But in Christian world, you've got praise-a-thons and the PTO, you know, praise the Lord, which is kind of a
right,
sick phrase when you think about it.
That is really, yeah. That means to honor and lift up Satan, because Satan is the Lord. Uh-huh.
And prayer meetings and worship services.
So, right. Oh, by the way, what did Yosha say about public prayer?
He said, go in the closet if you got to pray.
Yeah, if you got to pray. You know, go in your closet, but do not pray publicly, because if you pray publicly, you're a hypocrite. So what would make all of those involved in a prayer meeting? Hypocrites,
ridiculous.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hypocrites. Absolutely hypocrites. What did Yahweh say about the prayers of those who did not observe the Torah?
If you don't observe the Torah, I don't hear you, don't know you.
Correct.
Don't respond to you.
That is correct. He actually said that the faces of those who are trying to appeal to me, who have not considered my Torah and are trying to circumvent my Torah, look to me as if they're covered with bull dung.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's
and
really
the relation there, connect the dots there, and you've got
to the bull and to dung, and you're talking about religious crap.
Mm-hmm.
That bull dung is Hebrew for religious crap. I think I can say crap on the air, can I, Scott?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's legal. I can't say bull and then the S word following bull, but I can say religious crap, and that's really what he was talking about anyway. So
I'll email you on where the other word came from, and it's really quite funny. It is.
Oh, okay. All right. I would like to see that. So the realization is that Christians and their publications 100% of the time misrepresent these three words that you want to focus
right
on. Is that your conclusion?
Pretty much. No,
okay.
Pretty much. With praise, what I did is I took, there are apparently about 9 words that are translated, as far as I can find, that are translated as praise,
mm-hmm,
by the King James or the modern English Bibles.
Okay, let's talk about the most prevalent of them.
Okay, well, the only one, they're out of the 9, only one out of the 9 comes close to being praise. Now, what I'm using as a definition of praise is the common usage in the sense of the dictionary use of so forth. But when I went through every one of the words, they all came up with something totally different.
Okay.
In the context of what you would say. If I said to you when you were a Christian, we're going to have a praise, or I want you to praise the Lord, you might raise your hands or something like that. But and the only one that even comes close to that is a yod, which is a YD or a yod and a delete, and with a hey attached to it. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. It's a yod, delete, and a hey, which is Yeah, they are, you know, and that means to, actually the technical word, what I did, let me back up 1 second so I don't...
Okay, let's just, first of all, let's get the dictionary definition of a hey. It's to glorify, to exalt, especially in song or writing. It's to acclaim, to applaud, to compliment, to hail, is the definition of a praise. Synonyms are to bless, to celebrate, to eulogize, to extol, to glorify, to magnify, to related words would be to aggrandize, dignify, distinguish, ennoble, erect, exalt. But erect is kind of funny in this case. So those are synonyms. That would be a dictionary definition of praise. So there's one aspect of this that we would agree with, and that we would we do applaud who Yahweh is, his nature, and his plan. But our applause, if you will, our compliments to Yahweh, are all directly attributable to what he has to say about himself, and our recognition that makes him a really remarkable individual, and what he is offering us, which is praiseworthy. It is what he's offering us is really extraordinary. So we don't praise him as God. We will acknowledge his exemplary character and his and the merits of the plan that he is offering to us.
Yeah, and it's not the going into a trance kind of thing, emotional.
No. There's no song. There's no song associated with it.
No.
There's no emotion associated with it. You know, I happen to really like Yahweh. I mean, but you know, it's based on fact.
Yeah, and it's, the point was there's really no great group of words where he's asking you to just praise him all day long in this silliness that everyone, I mean, it would be obnoxious, I think, after a while to have somebody just,
oh, can you imagine?
Oh, glorious in heaven, you know, for heavenly Father.
Well, put yourself in a situation. Let's say that down there in the South where you came from, that there was a class where artists, rather than just drawing an imaginary critter, could actually cause their imagination and their critter to come to life. So you are drawing your version of Pinocchio.
Okay.
And but that drawing of Pinocchio actually is a life form that you're imbuing with free will, that you're giving intelligence to, and that you're giving a roadmap to. You're giving information, and you're trying to teach this this individual that you have drawn into being a member of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what if that individual chose to know nothing of you and simply tell you how wonderful they think you are out of fear for what they can do to you all of the time? How long would it take for the ignorant individual that you have drawn to tell you how wonderful you are, not even knowing who you are, before you would say, okay, I've had enough of this. That was a mistake.
It doesn't take very long. You get kind of, that would be very sickening after a while. It's not the real.
You know, I was once the head of a fairly, in fact, I've been the head of several businesses, and I've had a lot of people blow smoke my way because, you know, they were looking for some kind of favor as it relates to the businesses that I owned. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell you, it is maybe the single worst part of being in that position. In fact, it may be the single worst part of doing what we're doing right now. If people say, you know, we really appreciate what you have done, you know, you're this, that, and the other thing has been, you know, wonderful inspiration. And you say, no. Don't praise me. Don't credit me. It's really uncomfortable. And so, can you imagine Yahweh?
Yeah.
What are the chances are that he created us to praise him?
No, that would be...
Or that he would enjoy that.
Well, there's no indication that he did.
No.
I mean,
no, he certainly in the Torah doesn't tell us to do that ever.
Yeah. And when you go through all the words on praise,
Okay, for the first one, you've already you've laid out the letters.
Yeah, I've skipped down a ways, but that one, that one is the only one that I could find. It actually technically it meant to, in the most ancient things, I left out the King James definition because they came many centuries later, and I went to the old, as far back as I could find.
Right.
And the root of that is the YD, and it means just to throw you a hand, thanks. Or to reach in a sense that you might raise your hands is also a definition in there, but is to reach like you're doing a handshake.
Okay.
So a greeting, you know. So that's not over glorified words and the things that we find down, especially down south when somebody does a prayer or something.
Right. So it's like the individuals in the hay that are standing up, reaching up to Yahweh, reaching up for his hand, and Yahweh's hand reaching down and out to us. It's the union of those things, creating a handshake.
That's what a handshake is. And then the one that actually has a word praise as a definition that I found was the one when you add the hay to it. But it still means to throw, and it means to, they did use the definition praise, but it came about 13 definitions down before I
finished. Yeah, and the verbal root means to extend, right?
Mm-hmm. Extend or throw your hand out or something.
Right, yeah, to extend your hand, right. So the basis of it is exactly the same. To extend your hand, which is, if you look at Yahweh's name, he has his hand reaching down and out to us.
Right.
And he has in his name, four other hands, two people, four other hands reaching up to him. So this is a welcomed greeting of both individuals reaching out and extending their hands as a welcome embrace, right?
Right. And
that kind of praise, by the way, works for me, man. If that's what you want to defend, that's how Yahweh defines it. If you're going to consider that to be something that Yahweh wants, I'm all for it. That's the way he wants us to react to him as an individual, and he wants us to embrace, to extend our hands as he extends his hand of fellowship to us.
Right. And I'll go with that, but that doesn't come close to the King Jamesian modern Christian concept of praise. So there's another four. Okay, well, there's another four variations on the word halal or hal, H-L, and I'll give you those when we come right back.
Okay. Yeah. What's interesting, of course, is the root of halal, which is the basis of hallelujah. Is to radiate light. The verbal form of the word means to radiate light. It has nothing to do with praise. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So, Kirk, you're the most commonly translated Hebrew word. You can't use translate because it's really not the meaning of the word.
Yeah.
Into praise would be variations of halal. And halal, just in straightforward, the verbal root, because the verb, the actionable form of a word in most languages, including Hebrew, and especially Hebrew, the actionable aspect of the word, because in most cases the word and the noun are written the same way, and the actionable form defines the noun. Halal means to radiate light. That's its primary meaning.
Yes. And what I looked up, it just said to shine, which is obviously the same thing.
Yeah. Right, to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's shine and brilliantly shine based upon a radiating light. That's the concept of the term. And how in the world that is twisted to praise. What they're missing here is this dimensional concept that Roy was so effective in communicating to us, and how you can equate time to light and energy to light, and this increase in dimensions when we become liberated in time by going to the fourth dimension, and we become perfected by Yahweh by way of radiating his light so there's no darkness associated with us. They're missing that concept that the set-apart spirit is a pure manifestation of Yahweh's light, and that when we radiate Yahweh's light, then we are immortal, we're perfected, and we're prepared to be adopted into his family.
Mm-hmm.
And we're prepared, by the way, to approach him, to hug him, to be in his proximity. And until we're enveloped in the set apart Spirit's light, we are not prepared. We would be incinerated if we were to approach it. They're missing all of that.
They are.
And one is profound, and it affirms the very nature of Yahweh and what he is offering to do for us as he elevates us in dimensions. Mm-hmm. And the other is counterproductive, an irritant to God.
Yeah, it's just poor reporting.
Poor reporting, yes. Journalistic error.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. But, invalid reporting by the King James and all Christians ever since then. PTL.
Mm-hmm. PTL. Just to kick it to death okay. A little bit, it means...
What does halal mean in terms of just the word?
Other than shine, it says looking towards a sign, light or a star, and also and or being led towards it.
Right. Being led towards the light.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now,
yeah, being led towards the light.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, when you understand the words that Yahweh has used and their intended meaning... Then you understand that Yahweh, through the covenant and through the Mikre, Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, and Shavuah, is leading us to his light. Abraham came to understand what he was inheriting in the covenant when Yahweh led him to his light. And by being enveloped in Yahweh's light, we get the first three promises of the covenant met, and really four. We get... become immortal because there is time is a dimension that we're liberated in when we are enveloped in Yahweh's light. When we're enveloped in Yahweh's light, we have no more flaws, so we are perfected. We become children of the light and become more like our Father when we are led to the light. And the light is the source of our empowerment and our enrichment, which is the purpose of Shavuah. And fulfills all of the covenant's promises.
Yeah, and we're heading towards the... Yeah.
And can you tell me how we are led to the light with the three letters that comprise halal?
Well, the root word just has a hay and a lamb, which is a person being led, and then...
The actual word has two.
Two
laments.
After the root, you've got another word that basically right. coming from off of that root, which is the hay and the double L. So it's
right.
when you have two, a double dose of it, then it's
right.
usually for emphasis more than anything else.
And yeah, and matter of fact, it is the halal that is used most often that is mistranslated praise, but it's got the double application of the laments, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, and that was used about 165 times. So
So let's talk about that. So you've got the soft H, the hay. What does the soft H and hay represent?
Well, it's a human being standing up, engaged, walking with the hands up, or generally
reaching up. Right.
Right.
Uh huh. And they're engaged walking, following lamed lamed. Lamed just as a preposition means to approach. And as a letter, isn't it the shepherd's staff?
Yes, it's the shepherd's staff, and that's to teach, to direct, to protect, to lead, to move forward, just like a shepherd moves his flock towards the better pasture.
Perfect. Welcome back to your Shattering Mess. So, Kurt, when we hear this term, hallelujah, which is one of the terms that Yahweh said, reported to Yahochanan, Yahusha reported to Yahochanan, was being spoken in heaven, creating the myth that Christians are in heaven praising the Lord. That's not what halal means at all. It means that according to the letters that comprise the word, that individuals who stood up, reached up, to Yahweh, who paid attention to Yahweh, are led to approach Yahweh and to come into his light by reflecting his light, that they were led by Yahweh to his light. That's what it means, doesn't it?
Well, it not only means that, there's also, it's rather succinct in it, it says to shine through one's actions and words. So you become the radiator of the light, the reflection of the light.
through by uh-huh. when we share Yahweh's uh-huh. terminology, his words, then we are, in fact, according to the definition of halal, the actionable form of it, then we're radiating Yahweh's light by sharing his words.
Absolutely.
So that means that Yahweh's lights are equated to his words.
Mm-hmm.
But think of halal with the double application of the shepherd's staff, mm-hmm. with the law itself meaning to approach and to move towards.
Right.
And the staff being the source of protection, the source of leadership.
Right.
So you're being led to approach the source of the light.
Right.
If you are up on your feet, not down on your knees, huh. reaching up and paying attention to what God has to say.
Yeah.
So the actual version, the actual meaning of the word from its root, mm-hmm. from its actionable definition, and from the letters itself, is profound,
yeah.
accurate, consistent,
right.
beautiful.
Yeah. And there's two more little words not often used, but they also along the line of shine, which I think are terribly interesting. The next one is a mahalal, which has the mem in front of it. So it's a mem hay
lament.
Double L. Well, a double
right.
L. You know,
so. Right.
Uh-huh. So even though this one only said shine, but when you add the water, the mm-hmm. life-giving, the cleansing mm-hmm. added mm-hmm. to the person who is led to shine, to mm-hmm. do these actions and words and use the words, yeah, then it's pretty,
then
pretty
by,
impressive
yeah.
little word.
Then by the Spirit, which is represented by the mem, water. But what this is saying is that, you know, when you add the mem to it, what it's reinforcing is that we are being led to Yahweh's light, so long as we're up and we're engaged and we're reaching up and walking in Yahweh's presence. So long as we're doing that, we're being led to Yahweh and to his light. But what the mem does, it says, in the process, we're being given extended life and we're being cleansed.
Right.
Okay.
Cool.
That sounds good, too.
Okay, and then there's one other variation, another word that came from that same root, and this one is a I can't pronounce it. Let me just spell it.
Okay.
And a yod okay. and a lamb, and then there's the wa between the other lamb.
And okay. So all it's doing is adding a wa, the tent
peg. Well, it has a yod, too.
Oh, okay. Yod so it has a Yahweh's hand and the wa, the tent peg. Which means yeah. to increase, to secure, to enlarge a family, and Yahweh's hand, which where he is reaching down to lift us up. It's adding those two concepts mm-hmm. to the hay and the lameds.
Right. So
okay.
that's pretty. And all of that, what I wrote
so,
down.
So in this case, you have Yahweh reaching down to lift us up,
yeah.
right?
And yeah.
you have him specifically adding to us, increasing us, making us more secure, and enlarging his family in the process.
Right, which is a good lead on. That's about six of them out of the nine.
Okay.
That's a good lead on to the next one that the King James just says, praise. And you have our old friend Barak, which means to, initially just means to kneel, but it's
wow.
also to kneel down and to present a gift. And that's King James decided that rather than use Barak, and we know it,
mm-hmm.
they chose to use it as praise.
Wow.
And, you know,
yeah, that's really, that's a extraordinarily tortured extrapolation.
Yeah.
To kneel down in love, to lift someone up, to praise, I mean, that is really a tortured extrapolation.
Well, I guess they needed to have somebody kneeling.
Yeah, I guess.
So they must have said, okay, well, that means to kneel, so we'll just...
Yeah. Almost, it's not exclusive, but and somewhere in the range of about 90% of the time that Barak is used in association with Yahweh, including all of the times that he uses the word initially in his Torah, where he defines his terms. It's Yahweh that is doing the Baraking. It's Yahweh who is down on his knees to man, lifting us up because he loves us. Now, there are a few in the and the prophets and psalms, where the individual doing the baraking is man in association with God, where we are as young children down on our knees approaching him so that he can lift us up. But then we're shown standing thereafter.
Yeah.
But 99%, maybe 90 to 99%, including all of those, 100% of those initially in the Torah, it's Yahweh down lifting us up. But we can, like in that Aaronic blessing that we covered in detail, where it has Aaron being able to lift up Yisrael, get down on his knees to lift up Israel. And he's not lifting up Yahweh, he's lifting up Israel. There, what you see is that it's the children of Israel. So it's talking specifically of the young babes of Israel that Yahweh wants to lift up. And he says, you know, if you share these promises of mine with them, then you, in effect, are performing the role of my words, which will lift them up. With Barak, yeah. A very appropriate use of Barak in that sense. We as individuals, as children of Yahweh, can actually do what Yahweh is doing when he gets down on his knees to lift us up in love. When we share Yahweh's words,
yeah.
That's what we're doing for other children of his.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't mean that kneel is not a good word, a descriptive word. I mean, if you're describing someone who's kneeling down before a statue. I mean, you've got to have a word for it. I'm not disputing that.
Right.
I'm just saying, but when you're in the context of praise and you have all these words and then you turn them into that, which they're not, but it ain't what they mean.
Yeah. In fact, Barak is it's just three letters in the word, and the three letters in the word do not indicate any religious devotion. I mean, it's based upon family and home. That's what the Bereth is, right?
Yeah, and once again, the Roach, you know, if you remember the Roach.
Right. A thinking individual who was observing. Right.
And who's thinking, and then hand is an open palm is a greeting.
Oh.
So it's not
there you go, man. That's right there. It's consistent with all of the other terms where you're greeting, you're welcoming, you're extending your hand. The K is an extended open hand, as in a greeting, a handshake.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, do you give a handshake to a baby that is 1 year old?
No.
But a handshake is what we do to another individual. You walk up and somebody that you want to know, somebody that you do know, you'll extend your hand. And typically, when you're shaking someone's hand, are you down on your knees or are they down on their knees, or are you both standing?
No, everybody's standing.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, always words make sense when they're properly defined, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're pretty much, unless you have another one, man.
We got two more.
Okay.
We've got a Shabbat, which is also used in the King James as praise, and it simply means a calming or quieting of something by speaking or stroking smoothly, to be still, to refrain from moving, and kind of a meditation type of thing is the best I can say.
Yeah, it's based on the root Shabbat, you know, the root of Shabbat, you know, which is the promise and is of seven, and the root of Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reflecting this idea that we ought to rest and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
On our relationship with Yahweh on the seventh day. So this is a concept of us recognizing that he is providing everything that's necessary for our adoption into his family, our immortality, our perfection, our enrichment, and our enlightenment, and that we ought to rest and reflect in him settling our debts so we can settle in his home. That's the Shabbat root.
Yeah, so you had a head to it, which in modern day is a chet, but it's a head originally, and that's the fence that guards you. So you have your family that's being guarded, a family that's nourished with words that's being guarded and calm, and relaxed and enjoy the day, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, the chet actually conveys the idea of separation too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just guarding, it's a separation.
Well,
so
it's separation from all the bad guys as well.
That's right. So if you make the choice to be separated from human institutions like religions and politics and all that sort of thing, if you make the decision to be set apart from those things, to be set apart unto Yahweh, then these good things will happen as a result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the last one I found that is used as praise is Zamar. And Zamar means is a musical melody, is when you pluck something, a musical instrument where a string is plucked and singing that accompanies it, and also plucking of a fruit from a vine, or to cut a path brings forth fruit. And that's
okay. So the verbal root is to bring forth something that is fruitful by way of a musical instrumental accompaniment.
Right. Yeah. So you have party music, and yeah, that's it. But that's right. So that's okay. I mean,
the psalms were all set to music.
Yeah,
right. So. They're all songs. They're lyrics to songs. They're all fruitful. They're all lyrics to songs, and it's don't have any issue with that.
Yeah. So you've got the plow, and that's the only thing that we wouldn't know about the letters there is the plow, the Z. Zan also means food, is related with food and nourishment and the harvest.
The plow does something. The plow does something that is important. And sometimes when you set a concept to melody, you underscore it with a melody, and you make the lyrics flow out of the melody. What you cause is people to be more receptive. When you plow the ground, don't you make the ground receptive? If the ground is hard, if the ground is filled with weeds, and so that something good can't grow there, and the water runs off of it, and the seeds will not take root, if you plow it, and you open it up, doesn't it make it receptive to the positive things?
Absolutely.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with Kirk about three words. We've actually only identified one of the three thus far, which is the one that is rendered praise. You've mentioned, five or six, seven, perhaps, words that is used in Hebrew that has been convoluted to praise. Not a single one of them has anything to do with praise. All of them have to do with us approaching Yahweh and of us radiating His light, being led into His presence, being greeted by Him as an individual with both of us standing on our feet, offering a hand of fellowship so that we not only come into His light, but benefit from His light, radiating His light.
Yeah. And that was about nine total just then. A couple of them have the same root, but they're distinctively different words used in different contexts and so forth. But it's and the overall...
The HLL root, though, is HL.
Yeah, right.
And then HLL root is the dominant form of the corruption to praise. And a person who is engaged, standing up, reaching up, paying attention, represented in Yahweh's name twice. The individual that's the basis of the word that defines Yahweh's name, which has two hays in it, Haya, and it speaks of of an individual who is paying attention to God and reaching up to Him. And then you have two lameds, which is the shepherd's staff, being led to approach the very shepherd, being nourished by the shepherd, protected by the shepherd, led by the shepherd.
And then the other one, of course, was the yard that we had two. They had the Y and the D, and also with the hay mm-hmm. added, the second word of that section
right.
that has
right.
the hay. So the big gestalt here is I know you have to really strain to change all these definitions. This is not a...
In fact, I would go as far as to say there isn't even one of them where you can get to the religious concept of praise. There's not even one of them. You can even approach it. And when you go in that direction, what you end up doing is losing all of the insights that were provided via the actual meanings of the words and by the letters that comprise the words.
Yeah. Well, I'm an artist, and when I leave here, I'm going to try to save the world from bad art for a few days. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but they might as well have good art on the wall while they. But and because I'm pretty good at what I do, I get a lot of unsolicited. Wow, you're really good.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So I understand it. I don't get you know, I've been doing this 45 years. It's fine. Just sit and draw. Just learn something. The goal in the classroom is to teach these people how to do what I do so they can enjoy the activity.
Right.
And get better and achieve whatever goal they want to.
And by the way, when you're drawing something, you're drawing, I'm looking out here at my old dog, and you're drawing a portrait of my old dog. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't the artist who is drawing that portrait of my old dog, if you were doing it, get to know my dog better? Wouldn't you see something in dog's manner, personality, attitude that... Yeah, that would help you understand
it's observation,
better.
I think, Shamar.
It is, isn't it? You have to be an extraordinarily effective observer to be a good artist, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's like when Leonardo da Vinci recognized that the mountains behind Mona Lisa had to fade to purple, he was observing what naturally occurs in our field of vision, was he not?
Yeah, we talk a lot about that. Let me tell you something. Yeah. You know, I teach fundamentals, and I say this is the magic trick. This is what makes the 2D look so into 3D and creates that wonderful illusion that everybody falls in love with.
Uh huh.
There's only a certain number of fundamentals. There aren't any more. You can go to Harvard. You can go to Paris Art School. You can come to my little podunk place. And guess how many there are?
Well, I'm going to tell you that I'm not an artist. I wish I was. But I'm going to tell you there's two things that strike me as being the most important for making something that is two-dimensional, three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. The first is perspective, which is essential when coming to understand who Yahweh is and what he's offering. And the second is light. Where the light is coming from, and how light creates shadows and contrasts to create the impression of three dimensions based upon where that source of light is influencing with that which you're drawing. So I'd say light source and perspective would be two of the most important.
Well, Did I get it right?
Or am I close?
That's very good. I hit it very, very hard. I'm trying to teach them how to see these things, and once they open up their eyes, they see it, and then they're able to do it.
Okay.
But there are actually seven fundamentals.
Oh, my goodness.
Huh?
You just blanked out there for a moment, and we have the final concluding song, the Exodus song, by the way. This is my land. Can you be back with us tomorrow? We'll begin with
I'll try.
Okay.
Eventually, I'm going to have to paint some, but I'll try. Okay.
Seven fundamentals of understanding how to create a three-dimensional construct in a two-dimensional world.